Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 with a live studio audience. Wow, okay. Thank you to the live studio audience here. As we go into an absolutely incredible week ahead, it is hard to even know where to begin. There is so much happening in the world. There's so much happening in our private, personal Garfinkel family world, the Project 613 world. But let us start, first of all, with a mazel tov to my wife, Suri, and my daughter, Ariella, and her wonderful husband, Ezra Herman, on the birth of a baby boy this past Friday morning in the wee hours of the morning. And the little guy came into the world, and we are so blessed. We are so thankful to Hashem, God, for, you know, the miracle of childbirth. He watches over every moment, and this one was certainly no exception. So super excited, blessed, and very, very grateful to add another member of the Jewish people. Is our mission at Project 613 is really to not only hold the line and keep current Jewish members of the team, but to expand it. So we are very blessed and want to thank everyone for their blessings as well. All right. So that is the first thank you. And we need to talk about the absolutely miraculous, crazy, messianic level, nutso, I don't mean nutso in a bad way, level of things happening between Israel and Iran. But I want to start with a vignette. I want to start with an absolutely incredible image. Now, this image went around like wildfire on social media this past week. There is an Arkea Airlines. Now, people are wondering, what is Arkea Airlines? It is the JetBlue of Israeli Airlines. Some people call it the Spirit of Israeli Airlines. And there is a famous steward, flight attendant, named Aviad Schatz. Now, I actually, when I came back from our Israel trip, I recognized him. He's famous. He does dances and stuff on various flights. The famous flight to Uman in Ukraine before Rosh Hashanah, where there are thousands of pilgrims. But here was a flight of Jews coming back to Israel at this time. And he's there with the flag and everyone is pumped up. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a group of people on this plane, Jews, only Jews, would be pumped up to return to the homeland where it's being riddled with intercontinental ballistic missiles. What other nation would do that? What other nation would do that? But there's only one issue. It didn't happen. It did happen, but it didn't happen. It happened, but it didn't happen this round of the recent repatriation of Israelis after or during this current conflict with Iran. It happened after October 7th. After October 7th, a week after, and Jews come back to a country, and it shows a consistent theme that the more our non-Jewish enemies attack us, the greater we become and the more pumped up we become about being Jewish. And that is the response. That is the message to the Iranian missiles. And that is the message to Hamas, that no matter how much you try to take us down, we're coming back to Israel on a party plane. The indomitable spirit of the Jewish people just simply will not be denied. What other, I mean, think about it, it's ridiculous. Can you imagine any other nation where, I don't know, if there are Greeks in America, right? And Greece is getting bombed, right? And they said, we must go back to the homeland. And and be there just with our Grecian, you know, patriots and citizens. Are you kidding me? Maybe they'll have some Grecian, you know, some feta cheese on their Greek salad, but that's about it. And yet now, with this, even in this situation, there are Jews clamoring to get back to Israel. And this has been the theme, by the way, since October 7th, as we mentioned, is that the more that the non-Jews squeeze us, the more the great and sweet inner juice, that fine wine, when they squeeze our grape, we produce fine wine, which is much more valuable than the grapes themselves. That is the Jewish people. When we undergo difficulties and challenges and you see the sweetness come up, I can't tell you how many videos I have seen, and I hope you have seen this as well. When these sirens go off, what are the Jews doing? I have seen several clips that Jews who are in a tunnel, now granted, they're doing their due diligence, they're in a tunnel, and they get out of their cars, and someone starts blaring music, and they start dancing. They start dancing. The whole tunnel is dancing. Now, I guess if there's a missile attack, I want to be in a tunnel, right, in under a mountain. That makes sense. You know, they're not dancing out in the middle of the freeway. But nevertheless, they're in a safe spot. They get out and they dance. And they're dancing, they're singing, they're blaring music. Why? Because Am Yisrael Chai, we are an eternal Jewish nation. And even, this is not just even religious. This is cutting across all sectors of Israeli society, this sense of that there's nothing you can do to get us down. There is nothing that they can do to get us down. And also, not just in tunnels, but in the mikklats themselves, I've seen incredible videos of even our own students of in the mikklat, excuse me. Mikklat is the bunker or the safe room that Israeli homes have. And so they have, what are they doing in the mikklat? They're learning Torah, they're singing, they're being positive. It is absolutely an unbelievable Jewish reaction to tragedy and to difficulty. You know, it's hard to get a Jew down. And you see this over and over and over again. And the question is, what is that special secret sauce that allows the Jews to be able to see things in a positive way? And not only see things in a positive way, but to act on it, to get on a plane, to go back to the homeland in the time of tremendous difficulty. And I think we can take a lesson from this past week's Torah portion, which has an incredible story and incredible insights. And it is the story of the Meraglim, as otherwise known as the spies. Now, on one foot, really briefly, right before, in the second year of being in the desert, and we were approaching the time where we were going to go into the desert, before it was decreed that we were going to be roaming the desert for 40 years, this story is why we were decreed to stay in the desert for 40 years. So what happened? The Jewish people made their first mistake by not trusting Moshe, and they wanted to say, hey, you know, let's go check out the land. Now, Moshe had already told them that God told them that it's a good land. So I don't know about any parents out there, but if any parents, you know, give Hanukkah gifts, right? And the first thing that the children ask for is a gift receipt. It's like, well, is there a gift receipt? It's like, well, you haven't even opened the gift yet. Why do you want to know if we got a gift receipt or not? It's ridiculous. Well, maybe I won't like it, which means there's a lack of trust going on over there. And that is the challenging aspect of someone who doesn't trust, right? And so therefore, the Jewish people were, quote-unquote, asking for a gift receipt before they even saw what the gift of the land of Israel was, which means they were going in with a negative attitude. They were going in looking for faults. They were going in looking for negativity. There are many reasons for that. The commentators explain one is that they liked their positions in the desert. These were the heads of the tribes at the time. And so therefore, they knew that new scenario, new reality means new leadership. So they wanted to sabotage themselves and stay in the desert. Okay, others say that it was a total meltdown of confidence. I believe we spoke about that in previous podcasts over the years, that they saw themselves in their own eyes like grasshoppers, and so they were, in reality, that's how they projected to the world. Even though the irony was that the local residents were scared to death, scared stiff of the Jewish people approaching. We see from the verses themselves that the locals were very afraid of the Jewish people coming in. So for whatever reason for the negativity, we put on negative glasses. We put Debbie Downer glasses on. And therefore, the only thing that we could see is negativity. So even though they brought back giant-sized grapes, okay, and giant-sized fruits that show the bounty of the land, they were able to spin it. They were able to spin the message and say, yes, look how weird the land is. It must be have giants there. And there's no way that we're going to defeat the giants, right? When they went up against a fortified city, oh my gosh, they have fortified cities. Well, Rashi tells us that fortified cities actually mean that the locals are afraid. If they would be open cities, right? That's when the locals are like, yeah, bring it on. We don't need any walls to protect us. But in fact, the locals were so afraid they had to build fortified cities. But the Jews looked at the fortified cities and said, there's no way we're going to beat these locals, these giant Canaanites. And we had no reason to think that. In fact, if anything, the street creds, Hashem had great street creds. He beat and defeated the greatest superpower of the world, possibly ever in history, called Egypt, Mitzrayim. And then we went on and defeated Sichon and Og, who were two massive kingdoms and mighty warriors across the east bank of the Jordan River. And so therefore, we had no reason to doubt. And yet, when we started doubting, the view of negativity spoiled everything. It tainted everything. The classic analogy I use with this is someone who has glasses, right, of shaded or tinted glasses, especially the skiers, right? My friend Eric, Gorenstein, we always talked about this, about if someone's wearing yellow, he's an amazing skier. When you wear your ski goggles and they're yellow tint, then even the green trees look yellow. The question is, what lenses are we viewing the world? Through what lenses are we viewing the world? And if that lens is one of negativity, then there's no hope. We could be faced with the most positive, amazing, unbelievable things in front of us, and we won't be able to see it. And I think that's one of the key things that the Jewish people have, is that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how difficult it is, we have the lens of positivity. We have the lens of can-do. We have the lens of a hopeful and better tomorrow. And now the question is really, what's the second thing? There's a second thing I think at play here that we need to discuss that really is the secret sauce of the secret sauce. What is it that allows Jews to have this eternal optimism that no matter what our enemies do to us, that we come back stronger, better, stronger, and faster, and more indestructible? And that, folks, that is our emunah. That is our emunah, our faithfulness, our faith, our faithfulness in Hashem. You know, in this video that did happen, but didn't happen now, but happened right after October 7th, and they're singing wildly. He's got the Israeli flag, and everyone's pumped to come back to a land where at that time when that flight was taking off and flying, Hamas was still in control of several parts of the south of Israel. Okay, so people were pumped up and they're coming back. One of the songs that was sung on that clip is Mi Shema'amin Lo Mefached. Someone who believes in Hashem, someone who believes in the Almighty, Lo Mefached. He does not fear. Because ultimately, I know that the CEO of the universe, the loving Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, our loving parent, knows what's going on, can control what's going on, and will only deliver to us that which is best. It doesn't mean that he's only going to deliver sweet bonbons and watermelon slices sometimes we have things that are delivered to us that are very negative, and we've gotten a lot of negativity recently, but it all has a purpose, and it all has a meaning, and it's all to either wake us up, or to be a little potch, or any number, or an atonement. There are many, many reasons why God would send negativity and difficulties to us. But we know that there is a manhig to the world. There is a ruler of the world. There is someone who's driving and guiding the events of the world. And I often think about, what would it be like? What would it be like for people to go through life not being plugged into that reality, that everything that happens to us is random, that there's no rhyme or reason? The people who really don't believe in God, they really don't, you know, people say they don't believe in God, but deep down, push comes to shove, they believe that there's a higher force guiding them. But people who really don't believe that there is God who controls everything, who's guiding everything, then life is a bunch of randomness. It's a patchwork, a quilt of random things that may or may not have anything to do with one another. What a sad life. What a sad way. What a depressing thing that literally my today has no fundamental connection to tomorrow, and my past ancestors have no fundamental connection to the future. And the Jewish people look at it all just the opposite. Total 180 is that everything that happens in life has meaning and purpose, and it might be difficult, but I know that there's a larger purpose. And even if I don't understand the larger purpose, I know that there is one. And I'm going to trust my Father in heaven to know that He's got the steering wheel. He's got the steering wheel of life. And I think that is why, and that is how, the Jewish people can come back on a party plane to Israel, either after October 7th or now with intercontinental ballistic missiles being shot, is because we have the lens of positivity that Yetov, it's going to be good, visit Kvartov, and it's already good. And how do I know that? Because my loving Father in heaven has got the wheel. He's got the steering wheel. And I am a very happy passenger, and I have to do my effort. God says to roll down the window, we'll roll down the window. He says to turn the air conditioning on or off, I'm there. He says to pump the gas, I'm going to do whatever is necessary as this holy passenger in God's journey for us throughout life. And we're not just supposed to chill out and put our feet up. We have to work, and that's the way God wants us. But ultimately, I can sit back, and as the Greyhound bus commercial, oh my gosh, years ago used to say, leave the driving to us. Our job is to put in the effort, the horsepower, as it will, but the Almighty's got the steering wheel. So I would like to conclude with maybe a challenge for all of us this week to put on our positivity glasses, which is hard, and to plug into the fact that the Almighty is here for us, was here for us, and will always be here for us. And it doesn't matter if it's Iran or Hezbollah in Lebanon or Syria, or all these people who are now brought to their knees, crumbled, and who would have thought of this even a year ago, that this would be the reality? But mi shema amin lo mefached, someone who believes does not get afraid, because we know that our job is to do our due diligence, to go through life with happiness and joy. But ultimately, we have to leave the driving to the CEO of the universe, our loving Father in heaven. May Hashem watch over us always and those who are fighting so bravely in Israel to keep us safe. And God willing, Hashem will provide a glorious salvation from the tremendously challenging situation in which we find ourselves. And may we have an incredible week. And God willing, we will see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.